Thank you for listening to the LA Catholic Morning Podcast. To help us broadcast all the good, true, and beautiful, please go to our support page on archangelradio.com.
Time to wake up, Lower Alabama! Ha ha! From the original home of Mardi Gras, moon pies, and more, this is LA Catholic Morning.
Going home to Alabama, all the way to where the ocean meets the road.
Good morning and welcome to LA Catholic Morning. You're on Archangel Radio. I'm Todd Sylvester with Ellen Taylor.
Yeah, huh?
Yeah.
I don't know. Mike, I got nothing else. I can't even.
Mike. What day is it?
Wednesday, hump day.
Ripster's hump day. Over there doing his thing.
Uh-huh.
I was telling them when I came in, I went out to dinner last night, which was delightful.
Delightful.
With my oldest son and his wife, and we just had a great time. Forgot to mention this part. The reason why
what?
We were going
yeah.
is some people for Christmas gave us gift cards.
Oh, nice.
So that was very, very pleasant.
Gift cards
but
to the restaurant.
But I ate too much and got sick. I ate too much, and I did it to myself. Have no sympathy for me whatsoever.
That's not hard to do.
Well, it's not because they go, you want some more breadsticks? Well, yeah, okay. Yes, I do. You want some more salad? Yeah. Yes. Yes, I do. Why didn't I say no?
Because it
what
was,
is wrong with me?
Because it was good food. It was a
no, I know.
I'm ridiculous.
Italian food.
I know.
Today
well,
is
all
a
of us.
Beautiful feast day, Saints Timothy and Titus. I would just love to be someone that was hanging out with St. Paul. Like that would have just been too rockin' awesome. But both of them, were ordained as bishops by St. Paul.
I hung out with
himself.
God and the saints this morning.
Yeah.
My adoration.
He won up.
That's okay.
Uh-huh.
That's okay. Mm-hmm. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. O God, who adorned Saints Timothy and Titus with apostolic virtues, grant through the intercession of them both that living justly and devoutly in this present age, we may merit to reach our heavenly homeland. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We thank our LA Catholic Morning sponsor, Coles Murphy Glover & Associates. They're an engineering firm offering plant design and layout for churches, schools, shipyards,
material handling facilities,
and more. Call CMG&A at 251-433-1611 or go to cmg-a.com.
And in world news, Pope Francis urged parents never to condemn their children. At his general audience, the Pope encouraged parents to turn to St. Joseph for help, including those whose children are of different sexual orientations. A Catholic adoption agency in Michigan reached a settlement with the state on Tuesday, which will allow the agency to continue to place children in homes in a manner consistent with its Catholic identity. The Coast Guard searched through the night for 39 missing people from a capsized boat after a solitary survivor was found clinging to the overturned hull off the Florida coast. A California city voted Tuesday night to require gun owners to carry liability insurance in what's believed to be the first measure of its kind in the U.S. The San Jose City Council overwhelmingly approved the measure despite opposition from gun owners who said it would violate their Second Amendment rights and promised to sue. Anti-vaccine activist Robert F. Kennedy Jr. apologized Tuesday for suggesting things are worse for people today than they were for Anne Frank, the teenager who died in a Nazi concentration camp after hiding with her family. Kennedy's comments made at a Washington rally on Sunday, put on by his anti-vaccine nonprofit group, were widely condemned as offensive, outrageous, and historically ignorant. And finally, in sports, it's the end of the Sean Payton era for the Saints, as he announced during a press conference yesterday that he would be stepping down as head coach. So, but he is leaving room to return at some point in the future.
As what?
So, as a head coach, but for a different team, maybe for a different team.
He's spending time with family, the classic reason why coaches leave.
He
people
didn't give
don't
a reason,
step
but
down
I'm
for
sure.
no reason for jobs like that.
Maybe he just wants to spend time with his family.
I know, no. And then they're calling up their other coaching buddies. Hey, do you have an opening?
Jerry Jones is like,
We always look forward to Wednesday morning when Tom Riello speaks to us from the capital city. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Ellen, Todd, Mike, and the Ripster. How y'all doing today?
Oh, now we're better because we hear your voice.
So you wanted to speak.
Hey, I'll tell you how you get better.
Oh.
Eat natural foods, Todd. Don't eat all those processed foods. You won't
exactly.
have all that.
Exactly. I just sent him the video on the oil,
yeah,
how they make
oil.
But
like I said, have no sympathy for me. I knew exactly what I was doing, and yeah, I did it to myself. Okay. Archbishop Corleone out there in California was at the march in the Walk for Life West Coast, and they had a mass,
right.
And then he gave a very stirring homily. Did he not, Tom?
Absolutely. You know, he's got the best name. If you're going to have a name, Corleone, Lionheart. He is the Lionheart, right? And he is definitely somebody who has a lot to say. He says it very well. And, you know, he was just recently published in the Wall Street Journal. He is a thinker. If people remember years ago when he was on auxiliary in San Diego, he would go on Catholic Answers every week. So this has been part of his ministry for over 20 years, even before he became the Archbishop of San Francisco, prior to that, the Bishop of Oakland. And his words are always measured. And the thing is, you know, he starts the homily out by saying, you know, it's a truth to say, you know, like if people were to come in and they were going to look to prosecute us, if they were going to bring us before court, is there enough evidence to convict us of being a Christian? And I just love that opening line, right? How am I living my life, and what does my life look like? And he used it as a kind of springboard to talk about the tragedy, the utter horror of abortion, and the complete dehumanization of human life, and people hiding behind the fact that they support abortion as a Christian, not recognizing any kind of disconnection there between those two realities, and challenging people to rethink their vision, to look at life from a transcendent dimension.
It is pretty amazing how they kind of frame this, because every time I have a conversation with people who are pro-abortion, and they don't even like when you say that. They're like, no, I'm pro-choice. I'm like, no, I'm pro-choice.
Yeah.
I just want people to choose life. You know, you actually want them to be able to abort their child, and that should never be an option, ever, never. It's not something where, you know, yes, for the life of the mother, but that's really not an abortion. You are then trying to save the mother. But rape, incest, there is no situation where it legitimizes the ending of the life of the child who is innocent. And I remember having a conversation with this woman who's very intelligent. She was a lawyer. She was, you know, professional. She goes, Todd, you just don't know the situations that they're in. And I said, it doesn't matter. I said, that's sad and terrible. And I would love for every child to come into the world in a wonderful situation where they were chosen and their parents were delighted and so excited that they were coming. But that's not always going to be the case. It doesn't take away, though, from the dignity of that child. Right, Tom?
Absolutely. And when you forget the who of the baby, the fact that that baby is a unique, as St. John Paul II said, unrepeatable gift with a transcendent dimension. When you forget that and you merely see the baby as a blob of tissue or just an invader, some people using that language, into the womb of someone else as if they've hostile manner, like a virus taking over the body, which is so dehumanizing. When you forget that dimension of that child, then it becomes easy to just move toward the issue of abortion. Just like we've seen throughout history, right? Whenever we dehumanize the other, whenever we view the other as an it, as a thing, as Martin Buber said, following Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., we reduce people to the status of things and not persons. And we've done that, even just with the language, like you pointed out, Todd, even with the language that we use, it's not by accident. That language is intended to dehumanize, to make impersonal, so it becomes easier to kind of process what we're doing. And Archbishop Corleone, his homily, just so spot on, so strong, but also grace-filled. That's the thing that I took away from reading this homily in the Register. that it was grace-filled.
You know what, Tom? The Archbishop in his homily reminded us and brought back some things in the past, in our pagan days, in the days before
yes.
Christianity, and how we lived pagan lives. And many of those same things we're doing in today's society and culture. We've taken God out of society. We've taken anything sacred out of society. And we're falling back on these things that we thought we'd gotten rid of generations ago. And he reminds us that we're called, don't sacrifice your sons and daughters to these demons, in essence.
Right. The god Molech, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about this neo-paganism that has now come back. And he uses language that many have used in the past, and it really hits home. Abortion is the neo-sacrament of this neo-paganism.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about it, and some time ago, we may have talked about this, but there's a connection between the issue of abortion and the incarnation, isn't there, right? I mean, there's a connection between the issue of abortion, the incarnation, and the Eucharist, right? This is my body given for you. And so Satan, who's the author of all sin, most especially this sin, he likes to deceive us into becoming anti-incarnational, anti-body, anti-flesh. John Paul had the theology of the body. Abortion is the anti-body. And we see that in our culture. And this is a return of this neo-paganism, as Archbishop Coeur de Lion talked about.
It is amazing, though, with the technology that we have, when you have these 4D ultrasounds, and you're looking at these children, and you're looking at the way they're even kind of, you know, reacting and smiling, and yet someone could look at that and say, justly, I can end the life.
Well, I think the point is we have totally put on blinders as a culture to those kinds of, those are gifts to be able to see that kind of thing. And in God's wisdom and in our creation of good technology, we're able to get a glimpse of the child in the room in more of its fullness picture. Yet they continue, and we all continue to have a blind eye to what that gift is. And I think it's just part of this culture where people have blinders on so much because they don't want to take that extra look and see the sacredness in something, the beauty of something that God created. It goes back to, I think, Tom, to us as humans thinking we are in control of everything and that our technology will save us and our knowledge will save us. And the Archbishop Coeur de Lion in this article, he talks about having wisdom, not knowledge, having wisdom. And we bypass wisdom as a culture for the sake of knowledge. And the two of them are very different and in conjunction can do beautiful things, but you have to have a right heart, I think, to recognize that.
Exactly. And I my thoughts immediately, Ellen, as you were talking about that, went to Romans chapter 1,
mm-hmm.
where St. Paul talks about we suppress the truth, right? We push it down. We don't want to know what we don't know. We don't want to go there because it might force us to have to change. It might force us to have to say, I've got to get right. It might force me to actually have to say, what am I doing? What am I allowing? You know, what's always amazing, you know, mentioned in the news about Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Mentioning Anne Frank and how everybody was offended by that. The thing is that what I would say to people is, I don't know why people are deceived into thinking that those horrors can't happen here. They're happening now, folks. They're yeah. happening now. The only reason why you're outraged by it is because it's politically incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Catholic audience, if you're outraged by what Kennedy said, I got news for you. They're outraged by what you think about abortion. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wake
yeah.
up, folks. Wake up. They are not our friends. They are not our friends and far too many.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I mean, on some level, I have to kind of giggle because it's like, I'm just so talk about blinders on
mm-hmm.
people not paying attention to the signs of the times. I mean, they're just not. And it's very, very sad for me to see so many good Catholics fall victim to this political correctness. The fact is, you know, Nazi Germany was the most educated per capita country in Europe. It was on the most educated continent in the world. Mm-hmm. I mean, the idea that this stuff can't happen again. Have you read Martin Luther King Jr.'s letter from a Birmingham jail? Probably not. Mm-hmm. Read it, because let me tell you something. It's happening, and it's happening around the world with this issue of abortion. It just is.
Mm-hmm. All right, so then how do we move forward, Tom? I want to build a culture of life. How do we do that?
I think the constant battle that we have to face is we have to be willing to have, if you remember about a month ago, we did this article, you know, having these conversations with our neighbors, that's where it's going to take place. It's going to take place, as Father Crooch used to say, at a backdoor barbecue. Yeah, it's not going to be fought out on Twitter. It's not going to be fought out on social media. I'm not saying that there's not things there that can be done. I'm sure that there is. But at the end of the day, it's going to take a constant vigilance in our homes, with our family, with our neighbors, to just be witnesses to the culture of life. And it's going to take, like here in town, we have this thing called Life on Wheels. It's wonderful. Volunteer. If you can volunteer, I can assure you, organizations like that need volunteers. Just take 3 hours a week or an hour and a half a week. Those are the ways that we are going to win this battle. It's by getting our hands dirty, getting in the trenches, and standing for life in word and deed.
And I think that deed part is important too, because a lot of people can verbally say, yeah, I'm against abortion, but what are you doing to actually help our culture by trying to be choose life rather than choose abortion? So helping the young pregnant woman, but helping them beyond that, in many ways as that child grows up. Maybe it's going to need mentoring. Maybe they're going to need help with housing or education or all kinds of things. Just be a Christian neighbor too, because if it has to, our call that we call ourselves a people of life has to step beyond just the words. It's got to be the deeds and the actions that follow.
Mm-hmm. And one of the blessings here in town that I see is, John Klein, who is the son of Bill and Vicky Klein, you know, through Alabama Citizens for Life, I have seen over and over again since my 15 years of living here, that lived out, right? The issue of abortion, yes, we stand, we pray, we go to the clinic, we pray at the clinic, we try to sidewalk counsel. And when we have a save, guess what? Is there a car? Do we have a way to help this person get a job? Mm-hmm. COPE, our crisis pregnancy center. They do this whole program, how to balance a checkbook, how to write a resume. It's both and, folks. It's amazing to see it. Archbishop Coeur de Lion's homily, let us get out there. Is there enough evidence to convict us of being a Christian? Let's be the change in the world.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. And I do think it also needs to be something where we rejoice at life. I remember someone coming up to me one time. This was when Stefan, we had just one child, was just an infant. And we went to Mass in New Orleans. And I just have a tendency to love on my kids, Tom. You know, it's just that's what I do. So he was just being super cute, and I was kissing him probably a lot during the Mass. I don't know. I don't even remember what was going on. Well, this big guy comes up to me after Mass, and it was a little scary. It was a little intimidating.
Uh-huh.
And he looked like he had red eyes, and I'm thinking, oh, no, this guy's strung out on drugs, and I have my son in my hands. Like, this is not going to end well. And he comes up to me and goes, sir, that your baby? I said, yes, sir. He goes, I've never been loved on like that in my whole life. And he was crying.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, okay, after I got to process it and really pray over it, I thought that was a witness that I didn't even know I was giving.
Right. Tom.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. We have to give the witness to life. And lastly, before we run out of time, we have to balance things too. There's a lot of people upset over a lot of things going on in the world. Like, it's the most important thing. Yet in the most important list of things, I think standing up and being people of life and living out the Christian life, that's more important than a lot of these lesser squabbles we have. And I'll say it about masks or vaccines or anything like that. Like, this is the most important thing. And we spend a lot of time arguing about things that in the grand scheme of things are not as important as this.
Exactly, and that's a diversion tactic, isn't it, right? It gets us off the main game, the main goal. We've lost the perspective, as Archbishop Corleone said, of what true wisdom looks like. What does it look like to live a life full of wisdom? I can assure you, it's not focusing exclusively on your 401k plan.
No, yeah. Which probably looks worse this week anyway. Tom Riello, thanks for joining us today.
Bye, everybody. Have
thanks,
a great
Tom.
Day.
Thanks,
see
Tom.
Ya. Bye-bye. Are our guests in the house?
They are.
Archbishop Thomas J. Rohde, Shannon Rowe are joining us here. We're going to talk about Catholic Charities for 2022. Stay with us on LA Catholic Morning.
Don't you forget about me. Don't.
So beautiful. Welcome back to LA Catholic Morning around Archangel Radio. Todd Sylvester here with Ellen Taylor. Mike DeGrace producing like a boss. Ripster's over there doing his thing. In studio, Archbishop Thomas J. Rohde, along with Shannon Rowe, here to speak to us about Catholic Charities. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Always a pleasure to be here with you, Todd, and Ellen, and Rich, and Mike, and everybody who's listening.
Amen. I'm always taken aback by the origins of Catholic Charities. When it started, because I'm just thinking, during the Depression, not the best time probably to be asking people to donate?
1931, the then Bishop Tulin asked that the people care about neighbor. And it's never a bad time to ask people to be part of something good.
Amen.
And there was a need there, a need to help neighbor in the midst of all the challenges, the sufferings of the time. It's still needed today. And although a lot of people are saying, well, this is really a bad time to ask me to help neighbor. No, it's the best time to ask people to help neighbor. Any time is a good time to care about the needs of others.
Amen.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And the need today is just as great as it was during the Great Depression. I mean, I get to see it. It's a blessing to me in my ministry that I get to go out and talk to those people who are receiving the help. So it might not be exactly the same needs as it was during the Great Depression, but the needs are greater and deep.
I think one thing too, Shannon, is that we may not realize, because we live in a culture of abundance, that people are actually in deep need of certain essential things in life. And I think if anything, the pandemic has showed us and exposed a lot of these wounds, whether it's physical needs, financial needs, mental health needs, spiritual needs. We have really kind of uncovered and scratched the surface. And when we look down there, we are just kind of a hurting society. And in so many ways, Catholic Charities has the ability to go in and minister to those needs in places that we will never see when we're going to Publix every week and all kinds of everyday things.
You know, speaking of Publix and going to your local grocery store, we like products on our shelves, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, the seafarers come and bring these container ships, and that's how we are able to have products on our shelves. But these seafarers are away from their homes for 6, 9, 12, 18 months now because of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. It used to be 6 to 9 months. And we have a ministry called the Stella Maurice. And there's actually a feature in it in the brochure. There's a video on it on our website. And Father Leto and Deacon John Archer, and they have a team of volunteers go out and visit the seafarers. Father Leto will say Mass for them on the ship. They may not have been to Mass in months.
Wow.
Or their confessions may not have been heard since they were in their homeland. And then this year, particularly with the pandemic, they brought them vaccines that were so crucial, they might not could go back home without the vaccine. So it's really an incredible ministry that was not uncovered, we've been supporting it for many years through Catholic Charities, but it was a blessing to get to video them and hear all that they do. It's really a beautiful ministry.
That's really neat. I remember talking with Father Leto about that, and he goes, yeah, I've got to brush up on my Tagalog. You know, go to and hear confessions.
But so many of them are Philippine, or from the Philippines, and that's his native language, which, you know, they feel like they're seeing a family member.
Mm-hmm. It is. And like you said, there's so many needs. There's the emotional needs. Mm-hmm. People under a lot of stress, either as individuals or as a family. Catholic social services provides counseling for individuals, for families. You know, there are people who make ends meet month to month, but with very little leeway with their finances, and they have something wrong with the house, and they can't afford to get it repaired, or they have a medical issue, wipes them out financially. Catholic Social Services helps those people, and the other ways that Catholic Charities help, you know, the campus ministries, prison ministries. You know, there's just so many ways that we put our faith into action when we help neighbor. And this is the best way we have as the people of God of the Archdiocese of Mobile to work together to help people in our midst.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Amen. I mean, you know, some of the other beautiful stories is those who need home repairs. Like Archbishop said, they live month to month or day to day, paycheck to paycheck, but they have major repairs that need to be done to their home so that it's livable. And Catholic Social Services goes in with a team of volunteers, and because of our donations, are able to buy the materials that are needed to do the work. And those stories are really beautiful because it's helping them on a different level.
And it's so true because we all see the rise of homelessness around mm-hmm. the country. And if you think in such a small way of preventing the problem from happening by somebody becoming homeless because they couldn't, their home became unlivable, a small thing like that done now will help also stop a greater problem that might ensue in the future. So there really is so many ways that Catholic Social Services can get right down to the heart of it before it becomes an even bigger problem and issue for somebody.
Yes, absolutely.
Because we're talking about vast numbers. I mean, like how many people are helped by Catholic Charities each year?
Well, over 30,000 just individuals. That's unique individuals. So if somebody comes in multiple times, they're only counted once. So it's over 30,000 just through Catholic Social Services. There are more. I mean, in seafarers, they see, 32 or 36,000 seafarers every year. So that's another 30,000. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking really lots of people, more than any one individual of us could really go and help. So that's why every donation to the Catholic Charities Appeal, it just, it's exponential, yeah. The difference it's making in somebody's life.
Well, that doesn't count all the other ways that, you know, look, prison ministry and youth, campus ministries at Auburn and South Alabama and Troy. It doesn't count the ways that Catholic Social Services helps in other parts of the Archdiocese cope, which is helping mothers with problem pregnancies so they don't choose abortion. It doesn't count the ways that Catholic Charities helps the Ebonite missions in their food pantry, in their soup kitchen that operates 365 days a year in Selma. And the other ministries around the archdiocese that are in parishes that Catholic Charities help. So, I mean, it's an amazing amount of people who are touched by a simple donation that individuals in archdiocese put into that envelope or send in other ways electronically that Shannon will explain, you know, online.
Yeah, how do we give?
You can text the letter CCA to the number 91999 and set up a monthly gift or a quarterly gift or a one-time gift, however you'd like to give. So that's the easiest way online. So when you text CCA to the number 91999, you'll get a link to give. So that's the easiest. You can also go to our website at mobarch.org, and you should have gotten mail in the last week. Please send it in. You can just put it in your parish collection plate, or you can mail it in. And those are the easiest ways to give.
No Venmo.
Okay.
All right, that's for next year.
Well, the IT people got to work through that, too.
Yes. So, yeah, that's right. That's right.
You know, one thing that is really good, and we forget the collective might of Catholic giving, and all of us together that join together and can fund these different ministries and services, that's more than we can do on our own. And we can make such a greater impact, too, because we're able to be out in the community in a bigger way, helping more people. than if we were just to randomly give $5 here or there, which is good for many causes. But collectively, the might of the Catholics throughout history on what they've built and what how they've served communities in need, and we're just continuing that great mission of our faith, which is to care for the poor. And we're just doing it electronically and online and texting these days. But it's still the same purpose and the same mission we're called for.
Absolutely. And one really beautiful thing I want to point out is every donation to the Catholic Charities Appeal stays right here in our archdiocese, the central and southern half of Alabama, helping the needs of our neighbors right here amongst us. So that's one thing I always am asked. So where's it going? It's staying right here to help the needs of our neighbors.
It's the only thing that I see on my credit card bill that I don't have buyer's regret. You know, everything else, I'm like, oh, man, you know, why did I do that? Why did I spend that? But when I see the line for Catholic Charities, that's like, all right, that's money well spent.
And to so many people, all of the archdiocese, you know, we have, the past few years, opened a new Catholic Social Service Center in Mobile in Florida that brought together a number of Catholic social service ministries, but in a much larger facility so that more people in Mobile County are being served. We've doubled the size of Catholic social services in Robertsdale, renovated the building, expanded it. It's twice the size now because as the population in Baldwin County grows, so do the needs of neighbor. We're about to open our new Catholic Social Service Center in Clark County because the needs in Clark County, Monroe County, Choctaw County, they're great. And we've done a lot of work on the Catholic Social Service Center in Dothan. And we're now exploring where to open a new Catholic Social Service Center in the Auburn-Opelika area. By the way, we already have a very nice one in the Montgomery area. Mm-hmm. And these are just Catholic social services. Catholic Charities funds a lot more ministries than that. So we're reaching throughout our archdiocese, and especially I'm excited about hopefully having a Catholic Social Service Center in Lee or Russell County, you know, the Auburn-Opelika area, too, because the population there is growing. And again, as there's a population increase, so does the need to help the increase in population of those who are struggling.
Whenever we talk about Catholic Charities, though, I have to, if you don't mind me sharing a personal story, because if you had asked me 25 years ago, who does Catholic Charities help? All the people that we're kind of talking about, that's who I'd picture in my mind. Someone who was down and out or homeless or, you know, struggling in that way. But 22, 23 now years ago, we were trying to finalize the adoption of our son, Joe. Now, he's our only adopted child, and it's a long story of how he came into our lives, but it was a long process. We got him at 8.5 months, and he was already over 4 years old, and we're trying to finalize his adoption. And we had moved from Louisiana to here, so it was just difficult with the communication with our lawyer and just a lot of complexities. And I remember when they contacted us and they said, well, you're going to need X, Y, and Z. Like, you got to have a home visit. You got to have the social worker. You got to. And at the time, honestly, Archbishop, I didn't have the money for any of that stuff. And I looked at my wife and I said, well, you know, we've waited this long. I guess we can just keep on waiting. And our pastor at the time, Monsignor Wall, said, contact Catholic Social Services. And I contacted them, and they came out to our house, and they said, yeah, you're going to need this, 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 and this, and this. And I said, well, what's this going to cost? And she said, well, because of your income, it's not going to cost you anything. And I just burst into tears. Like, I didn't know what to say. And so all of those things took place, and everything was handled, and then we finalized the adoption. And so now when you say, who does Catholic Charities help? I can just look in the mirror.
Yep.
That is beautiful.
And it's not just those who have physical needs, financial needs. Our campus ministries are on our college campuses. These are not young people who have the physical needs. They have the spiritual needs. Mm. But where can they go to be affirmed, supported, grow in faith? Catholic Charities makes that possible on our college campuses, serving a lot of young people and giving them a foundation in the faith at a very crucial time in their life of faith. So, mm-hmm. yeah, in a lot of ways, Catholic Charities helps.
And we'll continue our conversation with Archbishop Rohde, Shannon Rowe, and on Catholic Charities and what you can do to help in our campaign for 2022. Stay with us here on LA Catholic Morning.
Home is where the heart is, and my heart lives by the bay. Home is where the heart is, and my heart lives by the bay.
Just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be.
Welcome back to LA Catholic Morning here on Archangel Radio. Todd Sylvester with Helen Taylor.
Just solving all the world problems.
Show here, in between the show.
Yes.
Mike the Great's at the Command Center. Ripster's doing his thing. In studio, Archbishop Thomas J. Rohde, along with Shannon Rowe, here to speak to us about Catholic Charities. In all things charity, who comes up with the theme each year?
That is Shannon's bailiwick there. She does a great job with that.
Thank you. I come up with a couple options, and then I give them to the Archbishop to make the final decision. So we decided to keep In All Things Charity this year. It was the same last year, just really for continuing marketing and branding. Now, the verse changes every year. This year being 1 Corinthians, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, love never fails. And that's really what Catholic Charities is all about, is loving our neighbors in need. And so it is, that is really a fun process, actually.
Mm-hmm. You know, this is a charity. It's a charity appeal. And I think just about every one of us gets many different appeals in the mail or online on a regular basis. And it does look like just another appeal. We send a brochure. We have advertising. But it stands out in a few ways. First, the administrative cost of the appeal of Catholic Charities appeal is amazingly low. It is
5%.
5%. Mm-hmm. I'll put that up against any charity. There's a national organization that rates national appeals. We're not a national appeal, but it rates national appeals. And if administrative costs are 20%, it's considered an A+.
Wow.
We're 5%. Now, how is that possible? Because our appeal is handled by volunteers. We don't pay people for that. It's the volunteers in the parishes that are asking parishioners to give it, because this is a parish effort. You know, as much as we talk about all the work that a Catholic Charities appeal accomplishes throughout the archdiocese, it's really a parish effort. Every parish is organizing the appeal in their parish among their parishioners. But also, another good story about the appeal is that because of volunteers involved, the money which is donated is multiplied. Because when the money gets to where it's going to be used in whatever the local ministry is, it is multiplied by the number of volunteers who are there. It is not just all salaried employees who are working, for example, for Catholic Social Services. There's so many volunteers who are involved in that, involved in all the ministries that Catholic Charities makes possible. So again, the donation that a person gives is multiplied because of the number of volunteers. But I think that the greatest story, and what really sets Catholic Charities apart from other appeals, is that it's putting our faith into action. This is not that we're trying to improve our community or help this way or that way. We're putting our faith into action. You know, the great saints have told us that the only hands that God has to help others are our hands. And the only eyes that God has to look lovingly on those who are troubled are our eyes. And the only mouths that God has to speak words of comfort and faith are our mouths. That goes back to St. Augustine saying that to us. God calls us to put our faith into action. And we can talk so much about, well, I go to church, or I pray, or I go to adoration, or I try to grow spiritually. As James says in the Bible, you know, if you have faith without works, it's dead. Mm-hmm. Our faith has to be put into action. And he says, you know, you have faith and I have works. Is that it? He says, show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my works with my faith.
Amen.
It's that we have to put our faith into action, and God challenges us to that, because whatever concern we have for neighbor, that is what we're doing to God. You know, yesterday the gospel at Mass on the Feast of the Conversion of St. Paul was Paul, Saul at that time, before his name was changed to Paul. Saul is on the road to Damascus to arrest Christians and bring them back in chains to Jerusalem. And he struck down and blinded. And he hears the voice of Jesus say to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? You know, it would have made more sense to us if Jesus had said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting my followers? He doesn't say that. He says, why are you persecuting me? In other words, whatever is happening to others, that is what Jesus is feeling. You know, sometimes people who are not Catholic ask me, why in your Catholic churches is Jesus still on the cross when I walk into a church? In our churches, we have crosses, but Jesus, you know, we have a statue of Jesus on the cross because Jesus triumphed over the cross. He's risen, you know. And we say, my answer usually is, well, Jesus is on the cross because the church is still on the cross. Neighbors are suffering, and Jesus is with us in all that. Whatever is going on in our lives, Jesus is with us, and he expects us to be with those who are suffering. As Jesus says, you know, whatever you do to the least, that's what you're doing to me. And so it's one thing that we praise God, we pray, we're at Mass. Yes, absolutely, yes, yes, yes. But then we are also called to live our faith. When we stand before God, that's what Jesus says that we're going to be asked. When I was hungry, did you give me eat? When I was thirsty, give me a drink? A stranger, did you welcome me? Naked, did you clothe me? Sick, did you comfort me? In prison, did you visit me? That's what we're going to be asked. Did we put our faith into action? Catholic Charities Appeal is one of the best ways we have in our archdiocese of putting our faith into action. That's what sets this appeal apart from a lot of others that we may be aware of.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I want to thank you, though, for making it so easy for us, too. Because when Shannon was talking about the people that need some things, you know, fixed in their homes, immediately that just gets me going, because that's a skill set that I have. And I want to go to these people's homes and help fix stuff, but I literally don't have the time. I mean, I can't. Like, there are times when some friends of mine in emergencies and they call, but it's like right now there's just so much going on in my life, I just don't have the time. That's why I love giving to Catholic Charities. Yeah. Because it's Archbishop, it's just too easy. It's too easy for me.
Well, I tell you, one of the videos we did is a couple, and I went to this couple's home to interview them about their adoptive story, and I left with so inspired, because I didn't realize how incredible, how really instrumental Catholic Charities had been throughout their entire lives. So Jared and Kelly Rim adopted a child. They started their story from the beginning. They said, we met at Auburn through the Focus Ministry. I went, oh, that's mm-hmm. also mm-hmm. That's also
you know, there because of Catholic Charities. Oh, wow. Okay, you know, so that's exciting. They went on, they said, you know, we fell in love in Auburn, got married, and after 5 years of infertility, they decided to go through Catholic Social Services to adopt their child, Peter, who is a doll. He is mm-hmm. precious. Anyway, so they're going on and telling me their story, and Jared says, you know, this is really a special appeal to me. He said, I was born with spina bifida, and the disabled ministries through Catholic Social Services, provided by Catholic Charities, have really been a part of my life for forever. And that story really touched me, because this is an awesome, incredible, amazing couple, really just, you know, setting the world on fire. And they have been, you know, benefited and really just our shining light in our archdiocese, and have really been able to benefit from so many different ministries and Catholic Charities. So
I think you also speak to a greater point of, we don't know the good work that our good works will bring about.
That's right.
And it's like that ripple effect of the pebble in the lake. The small thing that you do for somebody in need and in charity, and what that's going to put in their heart, and what seeds that's going to sow about the kindness and goodness and the love of Christ, and that's going to spread out in their circle of family and community and things.
And it has.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, it has.
You know, our donation to Catholic Charities Appeal probably does a lot more good than we will ever realize in this life.
Mm-hmm.
We will, as I've often heard Todd say, you know, we will find out later when we stand before God the good that has been accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
But we trust God. We put this into His hands, and we let Him decide how He wants to use it to accomplish His plan. And it's amazing when we put little things into God's hands, what can happen. Even a few loaves and a few fish were multiplied once mm-hmm. they were in the hands of God.
So, Shannon, just before we run out of time here, just to remind our listeners how they can get involved with this. I'm holding up this
first
brochure.
If you're tech savvy, you can just text CCA to the number 91999, and you'll receive a link to give online. You can set up a monthly gift or a quarterly gift or one time, however you want to do it, online. Or you can go to MobArch, MobArch.org. It's on the homepage. Click the homepage link and it'll take you to a giving site. Also on the Archdiocesan website are the videos. So go to Giving Catholic Charities. It's right there, and watch our videos, because they really are inspiring. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. But you should have gotten something in the mail. If there's not anything, if you didn't receive anything in the mail that you can turn into your parish this weekend, I'm sure the pews will be filled with blank brochures that we invite you and encourage you to complete.
And I think that's a good reminder. So many people have moved to the area over
yes.
the times of this pandemic, and maybe they haven't made that connection yet. So please become a part of our greater Catholic community here. Support Catholic Charities. Archbishop, there's the music. Could you give us a blessing before you leave?
May the blessing of God be upon you and upon your loved ones. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Shannon Rowe, Archbishop Rohde, thank you so much.
Thanks so
thank
much for
joining us. Thank you for having us.
We thank our LA Catholic Morning sponsor, Alabama Smile Design. Dr. Brandon O'Donnell and his staff offer you the finest quality care in cosmetic and implant dentistry along the Gulf Coast. Call them today at 251-344-4994 or visit alabamasmiledesign.com. Alabama Smile Design, beautiful smiles to match a beautiful city. Who's coming up tomorrow, Mike?
Yes, tomorrow, Kari Gold will be talking about Jesus the Carpenter, her article there in the Catholic Thing. Judge Robert Conrad will share about his book on Saints John Fisher and St. Thomas More. And Rob Herbst has our article of interest and previews the Catholic Week. There's the act.
Fantastic.
Oh,
everyone have a great day. Thank you for coming in again.
What a blessing. Thank
God,
you
can fix something today, right?
Yeah, of course.
Like every day.
Thanks so much for listening to LA Catholic Morning. God bless you all.
Don't forget to call your mama. She loves you.